still making a lot of money.
A guy laid out a sheepskin run for you. You're probably back there just like hanging out and like, you know, having a drink or whatever. Mm-hmm. You do your 40-minute set and you go back and then, you know, you hang out with all the other people and like drink and do whatever you want. It's like, that is it. That's just like the rock star lifestyle. That is pretty awesome.
Well, I think that would be really fun, but I don't think I want that.
How could you not want that?
I think because it's utterly devoid of any sort of responsibility. You end up being, unless you are one of a very small number of rock stars, you end up more or less being a person who doesn't do anything of lasting impact. Which, if you're okay with that, that's fine. That's fine.
There's a big implication there that you you personally, Scott, are like looking to make some sort of like responsible, or be responsible for something, or make a difference, or something like that.
I think that's what I want to do.
Have you yet accomplished that in any small step or?
Very small steps, yes. And maybe I'm wrong. You know, I guess rock stars do have big influences on kids, or at least music might. You know, and that I kind of hope, because I like to write songs and stuff like that. But I think there was a point also when I realized, when I was writing songs, because there was a time actually when I also wanted to be a musician. But this was later, like in, I would say, post-college. But then I sort of realized, I was like, I don't know that a song actually ever changes any, you know, anybody's opinion. Unless you're like 14 and a song just like is like, oh, so, you know,
burn
right on, you know. But well, and for some kids, sadly, it's really like a piece of shit song that really grabs them. But I think there's an opportunity there, you know, there it's sort of an influential time and a song can really sort of sink in. I'm sure you remember a song that grabbed you when you were 14 years old or something like that. That was just like, oh, that's so awesome. That's like the essence of what I feel. But I think, I don't know. At this point, like, it's not like I hear a song. Even if I hear a great song, I'm not like, I'm going to change my world because of that song. You know, whereas I think there are other things that you can do that will actually have a greater influence on people. And I still love writing music and I still love playing music, but I'm not sure that that would be the end for me, you know, even if I were good enough to do anything, which I'm not. But were I really good at being a musician, then that still couldn't be the end of it. It would be a step.
Yeah. Boop. I wonder if that's like almost like a reason to have kids.
To make yourself feel good.
Not to make yourself feel good. To make yourself actually it's almost like a motivating factor.
Oh, well, I think that, that kids are a motivating factor. I don't know if it's a good reason to have kids.
But I mean, like, if you didn't have kids, you're like, forget it. Like, you know what I mean?
There is a population problem, though, so we got to take that into account also. You know, I saw this movie last weekend called Up in the Air with Clooney, George Clooney.
The Clune.
The man is a Clune god. He plays this guy who basically, he hasn't had kids, and he never has had, like, attachments to anything. That's sort of his thing. And at whatever age he is, you know, upper 40s or somewhere, you know, in there, he sort of starts to feel some desire for I don't know, an attachment or something like that. And so, I mean, I think it was a good movie, by the way. I won't throw the spoilers out there, but
he lands.
The plane comes down in a nice landing. but it it was sort of about this kind of thing. It was sort of about like, well, what I mean, or at least it, I think if the movie was effective as a piece of, I don't know, thought provoking art or something, then it would have the effect of asking people to question, you know, what they're shooting for, what their goals are, and why they're doing what they're doing. And I think that coming down to ideas about, you know, human connections and a sense of community might be part of it. I think there might be rare individuals who really, really are the kind of mountain man type, like, you know, the people who are happier without other people. But I think the vast majority of human beings are happier with other people. And it's a rare mountain man who trained himself how to survive out there. Yeah. I think, you know, they all depended on someone at some time.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, it's just weird because, you know, it's like, I've been thinking about, like, a lot of, like, the healthcare debate that's been going on, mm-hmm. in whatever, the Senate and the House and Congress, and just, like, at some point, I'm just like, if it doesn't pass now, it's like, all right, forget it. Like, we're just all gonna die. Like, you know?
Well, okay, all right. Here's the thing. We are all gonna die.
We're all gonna die. Yeah, like, and it's not gonna be like a good way either. You know, it's gonna be like this sort of like, why is this not passing? Why is this not working out? Like, why can't we get this?
Well,
all to
no,
happen?
But I mean, there's a lot of struggle, and I think just because you see the world in a particular way and expect it to turn out in a particular way doesn't mean that everybody else is seeing it that way. And I think that, all right, the fact that Obama got elected, an African-American president in the United States, when I think less than 10 years ago or something like that, a guy told me there will never be a black president, not for like 100 years, given the conditions of, you know, the societal conditions in our country. I think that that's a lot of reason just for realizing that change can happen. Whether or not he personally lives up to all that is expected of him is a different thing. And whether or not, you know, healthcare gets passed just because, you know, you and the vast majority of the people around you think that it should be this way, it doesn't mean that everybody is on that same page. But it might be that 20 years down the line, everybody's on that same page, you know? And so I think that, you know, there's not necessarily like a, oh, if it doesn't get passed now, we're screwed, you know? It's like, it's not like when the Civil Rights Bill or law went through, it wasn't like, well, now racism's over, you know. It's like that was still there, and it took another 40 years for an African American to be elected president, and it'll take more time for racism to not exist. You know, it might take a really long time for racism not to exist.
I would say that it will never happen.
Well, you never know.
No, right? I think it's just in human nature to like want to like discriminate against another person.
No, I think there is an element of human nature, but I don't think it's discriminate against another person. The element of human nature, I think, that's there is to generalize and to fear that what you don't know.
Well, that's what I meant. Right. Yeah, I mean, like, you don't just like randomly pick a person to discriminate against.
We need someone to discriminate against.
But I mean,
Billy, you're it. You son of a bitch.
But I mean, in a sense, like, if everybody was the exact same color, then they would find something else.
Right.
You know?
And religion, that, politics.
Right, exactly.
Economic standing.
So racism, I mean, like, it's just like, it happens
what
to be
what town
race.
You're from.
What town you're from, how tall you are, what color your eyes are, what color your hair is. Like, whatever right. It happens to be, people will find a way. And that's just, like, human nature.